Tuesday. Can you hear? Okay, sorry. Good morning. Let's start over again. Good morning. We are now into our last 2 days of our 2 month lockdown, circuit breaker lockdown. And starting on Tuesday, we enter into the post-circuit, phase one of post-circuit breaker period. But for most of us, I think working from home would be the default mode for us. And working from home may be the norm for many of us, even in phase three, until the end of the year. Now, the Ministry of Health has warned that the number of cases of community infection will go up once phase one kicks in and phase two kicks in. So that is room for us. These are prayer items for us. Let's continue to pray that the community spread will not be so serious as to warrant another second lockdown, okay, like what we see in Korea. So I think as Christians, we have the means of prayer. We can ask God to intervene. Okay? And also, let's continue to pray that churches can open once again for ministry, okay, where we can worship, fellowship, and have whole Sunday schools and prayer meetings in one location. Now, even as we are locked down at home, let's remember today that today is the Lord's Day, and we have set aside this time to remember Jesus' death on the cross, to worship Him. And today is a very special day because it is actually Pentecost Sunday. We have forgotten that in the midst of all this lockdown, you know, all the coping with this, we forget that today is Pentecost Sunday. And some traditions say that Pentecost Sunday is the birthday of the Christian church. And Pentecost Sunday is the day in which God gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell believers. It is the fulfillment of Emmanuel, God with us, literally. Even as we can't meet physically as a church in a single physical building, we are still meeting in the Lord. We can still meet God, we can still meet each other because He is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and that's because of Pentecost. Because of Pentecost, we are God's temple. Okay, let's be reminded of that as we keep in mind that today is Pentecost Sunday. We are God's temple. Now, as you know, I serve with our Daily Bread Ministries, and permit me maybe to quickly introduce some of our resources, biblical resources that we produce and that we have put online, so that these resources you may find useful during your stay home period. Right? And what you see here is we produce our Daily Bread quarterly devotional. Okay, some of you are reading the physical copy, some of you can actually read it online. If you have not a copy of this, you can actually subscribe to the daily readings through your email or through your mobile app. Okay. Secondly, we also have a COVID-19 resources website. Okay. Because of this COVID-19, we have put resources into this website so that people can get the help that they need during this difficult period. Now, we also have a series of devotional book based on the Bible, a book-by-book devotional. Okay. One of the complaints about our Daily Bread articles is that they are all over the place, meaning, you know, there is no sequential treatment of biblical text based on the book. But our Journey Through series is corrects that, and we have come up with devotionals based on the Bible book by book. Okay, so these are the announcements. So if you can you can actually read all these resources online. All right. Okay. Now, I've done with the promo announcement. Okay, good. Wait. Okay, now this is the book on the Journey Through series, which I wrote. And it's a 30-day devotional based on the book of Ruth. Okay, from Ruth 1 to Ruth chapter 4, verse 22 until the end. Now, you can actually write in, email us for a copy, but do give us some time to fulfill this because we only have a skeleton staff in the office now. But if you are eager to read it, you can actually read it online as well. All right, thank you. Now, I'm done with the promo announcement. This morning, we are continuing with our series of meditations on the I Am sayings of Jesus. Okay, let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Now, if you look at John chapter 10, verse 1 to 18, the focus of John chapter 10, verse 1 to 18 is about sheep, sheepfolds, and shepherds. It's all about sheep, sheepfold, and shepherds. But for today, we only consider the first 10 verses, which give us the third I Am saying of Jesus. And if you look at John chapter 10, verse 7, he says this, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. Now, if you look into the Bible, in the Bible, okay, we often come across this shepherd-sheep metaphor. And the Bible, the biblical writers often use the shepherd-sheep metaphor to illustrate two kinds of relationships. First, it is a relationship between God and man. The relationship between God and man. And secondly, the relationship between a leader and his followers. Okay, and so in the Bible, the metaphor of shepherd and sheep speaks of two basic relationships. The vertical one between God and man, and the horizontal one between the leader and his followers. Okay, we look at the first vertical relationship between God and man. Okay, in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, God is the shepherd of the nation Israel. We read in Psalms 80 verse 1. In Psalms 80 verse 1, hear us, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. And in Psalm 78 verse 52, in Psalm 78 verse 52, we read that the psalmist says he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. And of course, the most famous metaphor of God and his people is Psalm 23. He is our God and we are the people of his pasture. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay. Now, that brings us to the second relationship, that God is the shepherd of individuals. Second vertical relationship. First vertical relationship is God is the shepherd of the nation, of the people. But on a more personal note, God is the shepherd of individuals, you and I. As early as Genesis 48, in fact, the metaphor of shepherd and sheep appear in Genesis 48, 15, first time, where Jacob says this, that may the Lord, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. Okay, so Jacob acknowledges that God has been his shepherd on a personal basis. Okay, and as I said earlier, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So we find that there are two dimensions to the vertical metaphor of shepherd and sheep. God is the shepherd of his people, and God is my shepherd. Personal application. Okay. Then we look at the horizontal image of God as shepherd. Okay. Horizontal image of the metaphor of shepherd and the sheep, which speaks of human leaders and their followers. in the Bible, okay, political leaders are also considered shepherds. If you look at Numbers 27, verse 15, in Numbers 27, verse 15, okay, Moses, speaking to God, okay, says this: "May the Lord, the God of who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead the people out and bring them in, so that God's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." And so Moses asked God for another political leader to succeed him after he's gone. Okay, and so that this leader is also called the shepherd of the people. Okay. And so from political leaders, there is also a second dimension of the horizontal metaphor of shepherd and sheep, the spiritual leaders. Okay. In the Bible, spiritual leaders or pastoral leaders are also called shepherd. Okay. And Ezekiel speaks of a time where the spiritual leader, the pastoral leader, would really take care of their flock. In Ezekiel 34, for example, in Ezekiel 34, verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesied against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesied and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: Woe to you, the shepherds of Israel, who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?" And so, here we have today, the spiritual leader, the pastoral leader, is also known as a shepherd. And so Pastor John is a shepherd of this flock in Calvary Chapel Church. Okay. So as we see, as we enter, as we consider Jesus saying that I am the gate for the sheep, okay, we must begin with this metaphor of shepherd and sheep. The shepherd and sheep metaphor or the image is very deeply embedded in Jewish and biblical culture. And many of the great men of the Old Testament, people like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, they were all shepherds by professions. You know, there's a common link among all these great leaders. They were actually shepherds by profession and training. And as national leaders, Moses and David were also shepherds over the people. And additionally, God predicted that one day, a descendant of David would shepherd the nation. A descendant of David will shepherd the nation. And when Jesus Christ came, was born into this world, he will later say, "I am the shepherd of the sheep." And as we see it, this shepherd became the Lamb of God as well. And so these images of shepherd and sheep all have deep spiritual meaning for the Jewish people. Meaning of, that speaks of divine, that speaks of leadership, political leadership, pastoral leadership, spiritual leadership. And even as Jesus speaks to his people, as he teach about the metaphor of I'm the gate for the sheep, it is against this backdrop, this very rich backdrop that he is speaking about. So let's look at John chapter 10, verse 1. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The shepherd opens the gate for him. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech that the Pharisee did not understand what he was telling them. Now, Jesus says that he is the one who enters the gate of the sheepfold or the sheep pen. He is, in verse 2, the one who entered the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. At the time of Jesus, shepherds keep their flocks in two kinds of sheepfolds. First kind of sheepfold that is in use at the time of Jesus is the gated communal sheepfolds. In the villages, the shepherds keep their flock in stone wall gated communal sheepfolds guarded by gatekeepers. It's just like our multi-story car park, you know, all your cars are parked there. You know, you don't have individual car park. Unless you are staying in the landed property, you have your individual car park. So the first kind of sheepfold where shepherds keep their flock is the communal, gated communal sheepfolds. There is a second kind of sheepfolds that is in use at the time of Jesus, and this is the makeshift temporary enclosures that shepherds will do, will make when they are out in the fields. You see, very often the shepherds would bring the sheep out to the fields for the pasture, for the feeding. And many a times the shepherds would not be able to make it to the village at night in time. Okay, and because the shepherd and the flock had to stay outside in the wilderness, what the shepherds would do is to make makeshift enclosures, and they would collect stones and branches and make an enclosure in the wilderness. And after the enclosure is made of the branches and stones and all that, the shepherd would slip across this narrow opening in front. Okay? And it is in the context of Jesus, of the shepherd slipping across the opening, that he says, "I am the gate for the sheep." But first, we look at Jesus' explanation of that he is the shepherd of the sheep, because that will lead us to the gate of the sheep, Jesus as being the gate of the sheep. If you look at verse 1 to 5 of John chapter 10, okay, Jesus is clearly talking about the communal sheep pen that is in the village. He's talking about the communal sheep pen because he's talking about a gatekeeper, someone who allows the shepherd and the flock to enter into the sheep pen. And in the evening, various shepherds will bring their flocks back to the village to be kept in this communal sheep pen. And so you can expect many flocks with hundreds, and for the bigger sheep pen, even thousands of sheep mingling together. Thousands of sheep belonging to different shepherds, okay, of different flocks in the same location, mixed together in the communal sheepfold. The enclosure, which is a proper built one with stone walls, is guarded at night by a gatekeeper. There is a proper gate and a proper gatekeeper to prevent thieves and wild animals like foxes or wolves from entering to steal the sheep. Now, anyone who would climb the wall would be doing it for obvious no good purpose, to steal the sheep. Okay, and so in John chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, Jesus is talking about the communal sheep pen, where there is a gatekeeper and a gate. Now, the next morning, the shepherd will arrive at the gate, and the gatekeeper will recognize the shepherd and then opens the gate for the shepherd to enter the sheep pen. And in the sheep pen, the shepherd would call his own sheep by name, separating his own sheep from the hundreds of thousands of other sheep in the sheep pen. Now, if you have been to various places like New Zealand and Australia where there's more sheep than people, you will see that the shepherds are on donkeys or on horses, driving the sheep from the side or from behind. And you also see sheepdogs barking at the sheep from the side or from the back, pushing the sheep to move along. And that is the Western version of shepherd and sheep. The shepherd and the sheepdog will push the flock from behind. But when we come to the sheep and shepherd passages in the Bible, we need to look at it from the Middle Eastern understanding of shepherd and sheep, because Middle Eastern shepherds take care of their sheep very differently. The Middle Eastern shepherd is well known for his intimate knowledge of the sheep that he leads. The shepherd knows each sheep individually. And in some flocks, the shepherd will even give the sheep a specific name. You know, a black sheep will be called Becky, you know, a sheep with black dot spots will be called Spotty or something like that. And as the shepherd enters the gate into the communal sheep fold, and as he walks amongst all the hundreds and thousands of sheep, he will call his own sheep, and only his own sheep will respond to him and would draw near to his voice. And once he has gathered his flock, he will lead them out. Once the sheep, his flock is formed around him, he will lead them out, and he goes out towards the field with his flock following him out of the gate, out of the gates of the communal sheepfold. And sheep are led by a flute. You know, the Middle Eastern shepherd will either blow a tune on his flute, sing a song, or just speak, and the sheep will recognize his voice. A Middle Eastern shepherd always leads his sheep in front, never from the back. And when the sheep in the sheepfold recognize his voice, they trust his leading. And because they recognize that voice, they follow him out of the sheep pen. And that is what we see in verse 1 to 5 of John chapter 10. Now, that leads us to the second part of Jesus as shepherd. We look at verse 7, where he says, "I am the gate for the sheep." In another version, "I am the door of the sheep." In verse 7, "Therefore Jesus said again, I truly tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be safe. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." So we know that there are two kinds of sheepfold in use at the time of Jesus. The communal gated sheepfold, where many flocks are kept for the night, and the makeshift sheepfold that the shepherd will make for his flock when he's out in the wilderness. Okay, in the first part of John 10, verse 1 to verse 5, Jesus is talking about the communal sheepfold. He is saying that he is the shepherd who leads the sheep out of the gate of the sheepfold into pasture. But in verse 7 onwards, the situation, the scenario changes, the context changes from the village setting, from the village setting to the wilderness setting. And as the shepherd leads his flock out of the village sheep pen in the wood to the pasture in the wilderness, and because he very often he cannot get back to the communal sheep pen, he would house the sheep in the wilderness, and to keep the flock safe, he will construct makeshift enclosures. And after he makes the enclosures, he would sleep across the opening and protect the flock that way. And it is this gate, it is this narrow opening of the temporary sheep pen that Jesus has in mind when he says, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate for the sheep. Now, that day, we have asked a question now. What is the function of a gate, or what is the function of the door? First of all, a gate symbolizes protection. A gate assures the people inside the gate that they are safe and secure. Just as the door of our metal gate, or the door of our house, or the metal gate of our house. Okay, we lock it, we feel secure. Okay, people can, robbers cannot come in. And therefore, in the wilderness, when Jesus says he's the gate, he's giving us the picture that he has led us into a safe, protective environment. He has led us into a safe, protective environment. So the gate symbolizes protection. Now the gate also symbolizes provision. Because you and I know that a door is the entrance to some place or something. And the gate, through the gate, in the morning, the next morning, the shepherd will lead the flock out of the gate into pastures. And therefore, it gives us the imagery that Jesus is the gateway to abundance and blessings. Jesus is the abundance, is the gateway to provisions. Because the gate or the doorway reminds us that there is an exit and there is an entrance. We exit the door, we exit the gate, leaving something behind, and then we enter the door into something new. The two aspects of the gate, protection and provision, is affirmed by Jesus again in verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be safe. That's protection. They will come in and they go out, will find pasture. That's provision. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus protects us in order to give us abundant life. And that is represented by he being the shepherd and being the gate for the sheep. In verse 2, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus would later on contrast himself as the good shepherd and the false shepherds. In verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd, which actually is the fourth I am saying of Jesus. Okay, from this metaphor of that he is the shepherd of the sheep and the gate for the sheep, he expounds it further by saying that he is the good shepherd. I am the gate. In verse 9, whoever enters through me will be safe, will be extended later on to the sixth saying of Jesus. In John chapter 14, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus would take this gate metaphor and expand it to say that he is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, which is actually the sixth I am saying. Jesus is the gate because he's the only way to salvation. So as we look at John chapter 10, verse 3, verse 5, verse 2, that he is the shepherd of the sheep. And then later on, he kind of amplified it and built upon that image to say that now He is the gate for the sheep. Okay. We want to learn a couple of lessons here. First of all, we learn that Jesus is the shepherd who knows his sheep. It is a wonderful thing to be known by him and to be called by name. Okay. We don't like it if we continue, you know, to call each other, hey there, you, you know, hey there, picture number one, you know, or hey there, according to the picture, Lenovo Tab 10, M10, you know, it's so impersonal. But when you see the name there, Edward, you know, someone, you know that people knows you, and it's so wonderful to be known and to be called by name. And it is even more wonderful to be known and to be called by our shepherd by name, because we are his sheep. It is a wonderful thing to be known by him. And that's what in verse 3 says. He calls his own sheep by name. And in verse 14, Jesus expands it, endorsed that again. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So Jesus, our shepherd, knows us intimately and personally by name. Secondly, if Jesus is our shepherd, we need to be following him. Something which I said last week about the light, I'm the light of the world, what it means, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It talks about the leadership of our God. And now, we are talking about the leadership of our shepherd. He leads them out in verse 3. He leads them out. The question is, when Jesus walks into the communal sheep pen, okay, and he calls us by name, the question is, will you let him lead you out of the sheepfold? Are you willing to follow him? To what is Jesus leading us? That is a question. If he's our shepherd and he leads us, and as his sheep, we follow him. But to where are we following him? And that's the third lesson. Jesus leads us into eternal life, into safety, into security. In verse 27, he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so, even as we know that Jesus is our shepherd and he leads us out into provisions, he leads us into abundant life, eternal life. He leads us into safety and security. Now I want to close by looking at Psalms 23, where David captures these two meanings of the gate: protection and provision. Where David captures what it means for Jesus to be our shepherd leading us, and what it means for us as his sheep to follow our shepherd, to walk out of the gate into pastures. Look at Psalms 23. Jesus leads us to green pastures and quiet waters. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. If Jesus is the gate, and if he is the leader, he leads us to green pastures. Out of the gate, to green pastures and quiet waters. He leads us to live holy lives. In verse 3 of Psalm 23, he guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Jesus led us through the darkest valley in verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And finally, and there's one, two more. Jesus led us to a place of abundant provisions. In verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And finally, Jesus leads all of us to the home of our Father, to the eternal safety and security. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this is the meaning of the metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep, and particularly for today, the meaning of what Jesus says when he says, I am the gate for the sheep. He is the shepherd who is the gate. He leads us into protection and provision. So the question is this, therefore, let's continue to trust him. When you hear his voice, it is a voice that we can trust. And because his is a voice that we can trust, may we be willing to let him lead us out of the gate into pastures. The Lord bless you. Back to you, Edward.
Thank you, Pastor Sim, for the message.